This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Painfully slowly. It might have been one of the fastest 3 hours I've ever experienced on the radio. I can't believe it's already 9 o'clock this morning.
It's true, but I had just told Paul in the bathroom, I go, I am out of gas.
Yeah.
1,000% out of gas. The emotional, the energy when you are watching the games, it just zaps you. And I'm starting to feel a little run down. So I'm like, dude, I gotta make sure everybody gets their rest in. The anxiety is pretty gnarly pregame. Luckily, we had a couple games yesterday to kind of take our mind off it, which was really nice. But today, you're just rotting. Now, there's other games, which is great. You can watch the other games today. And then tomorrow's going to be massively excruciating, waiting all day.
So here's the schedule for today. Padres and Dodgers will work out this afternoon at Petco Park. News conferences with the managers, Mike Schilt, Dave Roberts, and the Game 3 scheduled starting pitchers, Michael King and Walker Buehler. For the Dodgers, they will speak. Clubhouses will be open. We will be covering it for you here on 97.3 The Fan. Stay tuned, obviously, during the Gwynn and Chris program and to all of our social media channels for all the sound and everything that's going on today. It's amazing, you know, yeah, there's every single day there's media opportunities. It's kind of less and less you can ask as you go on, but I imagine there's going to be a refreshing after yesterday of new questions and new topics going forward for everyone to address. So that's here. And then the American League Division Series, both of them will continue with games two today after an off day yesterday at 1:08 p.m. on TBS and that family of networks, the Tigers, and their ace, Tarek Skubal, will take on the Guardians and Matthew Boyd at Progressive Field. The Guardians were pretty solid winners on Saturday in Game 1. 7-0 behind Tanner Bibee and four relievers who combined on a four-hit shutout. Tigers looked like maybe well, obviously, they don't have as much pitching, and they had a little bit of energy sapped out of them from that wild card series getting through to the next round against the Houston Astros. But with Skubal on the mound, they've got to like their chances today, Woods, of maybe evening the series and getting home field advantage back to Detroit. That's what an ace does for you in a short series situation.
Yeah, no question, man. I'm elated to watch him throw. When is that?
1:08.
Okay, cool. And then after that, you've
that's
got the
4:38 game, the Royals with Cole Ragans, who was outstanding.
Nasty.
In their wild card series, and they'll take on the Yankees' Carlos Rodon in Game 2. The Yankees and Royals played a absolutely wild game on Saturday that featured five different lead changes. That has never happened, apparently, in a postseason series. Just back and forth and back and forth all the way until the seventh inning when it was tied at 5, and Alex Verdugo's RBI single broke the tie and gave the Yankees ultimately a 6-5 win.
Like, that's what we always talk about, the unlikely postseason hero. You couldn't find a player with a fan base that is more loathed by their own fan base than Alex Verdugo is by the Yankee fans that I see on Twitter. I mean, you guys, it's staggering. And for him to come through and get that knock and help propel them to a win is insane after, you know, their ace, Gerrit Cole, certainly didn't have it either the other night. So we were talking about it when we were talking about Dylan Cease. It's certainly something that happens. It is an entirely different animal this postseason.
Speaking of fan bases, so the Phillies fan base, and we heard Jeff Passan when he was on earlier, compared with the Padres, maybe two of the best atmospheres in all of baseball. And, of course, we talked about the story about the standing ovation for Trey Turner. Hey, let's get behind him and how feel good that was. How about Phillies fans booing Nick Castellanos yesterday, earlier in the game, after they had lost Game 1, were struggling to hit? He actually is getting boos in Game 2 of the division series. Well, how does he respond? He comes back and has the walk-off hit at the end of the game. Obviously, those boos would turn into cheers. If I was a Phillies fan, though, I would feel awful if I booed the guy the same game that he ended up being the walk-off hit winner.
Did you see the lip reading?
He was front. What did he say?
These effing people is what he said. He is the coldest dude of all time. My wife loves Castellanos, as do I. He's ice cold.
His quote after the game was, I was just kind of frustrated, so I guess I locked in more.
So is that him saying, boo me, go ahead. You see it with Manny sometimes, like you said last night. Certain players, Fernando is one of those players that kind of stuff feeds him. I mean, if an entire stadium was booing me, I would soil myself, right? Like, those are the guys who are like, oh, okay. They don't mind being the villain. Castellanos is one of them. But, man, what a cool moment for them yesterday. And you know, a lot of credit to the Mets, too. They just don't quit. They just don't quit. Two in the top of the ninth. Our old pal Matty Strom coughed up the lead. Like, it is a tough, tough thing to do to get 27 outs against the New York Mets right now. Just insanely tough.
Yeah. I have no idea who's going to win that series, but
a coin flip.
Either the Padres or Dodgers are going to Philly or New York
to get one of them.
And it's going to be pretty crazy. Now, again, if the Mets win the series and take on the Padres in the NLCS, the Padres would have home field advantage. If the Phillies win the series, of course, the Padres would have to go to Philadelphia for games 1 and 2 on Sunday and Monday. I get that's, two wins away.
You got to get there first, but that is a factor in my rooting interest, absolutely.
Only difference is if the Dodgers win, the Phillies would have to come to L.A. for games 1 and 2 because the Dodgers would have home field in both of those series.
Right, so that's because they were the best team in baseball with the best record. And
those
the
underdog
number one,
Dodgers.
The number one overall underdog Dodgers have what? Home field advantage throughout the playoffs and the World Series. Correct.
Well, it's because
something's not adding up.
It's because they struggled so badly in the second half to the finish line.
Oh, no, that couldn't be it.
Oh, wait, they had the second best record since the All-Star break in all of baseball.
Yeah, it's because they don't have an MVP.
Oh, wait, no. No, they've definitely got the MVP.
Oh, it's because they don't have two MVPs.
Well, thank God.
It's actually because they don't have three MVPs.
They got three.
It's actually because they were the only team with any injuries at all this season.
I heard a Dodgers fan calling in on my way in this morning. Going, well, I mean, no one's had the kind of injuries and he's kind of doing this math in his head. You know, it's the Dodgers have dealt with these incredible injuries. Well, I mean, yeah, the Padres did lose Joe Musgrove, I guess, now. I guess Ha-Sung Kim was lost for the season. And, oh, well, I mean, they did lose Tatis for a couple of months. And they did lose Bogarts that was a couple of months as well. He was like arguing against himself. He called in to say why the Dodgers were going to lose. He said, I'm a Dodgers fan. I've actually put money on the Padres in this series.
It's called emotional insurance.
Because I just feel like, you know, the Dodgers just aren't healthy enough. They've just been ravaged by injuries unlike any other team. Well, but of course, the Padres have also been hit very hard by injuries throughout the course of this season.
Yeah, man, as have the Guardians, as have the Yankees, as have the Royals. I mean, Manny Machado played, you know, with one arm essentially at the beginning of the season, did not play well. It's something that is you can't tell me every year how great you are at spending, development, all of that, and then say, well, we're not ready, we're unprepared. When you get to October and you're unprepared, you can't tell me it doesn't work that way. You know, you've won 11 out of 12 division titles. You know, what were the excuses then for the other times? Everybody has injuries. Everybody. We lost Yu Darvish for months and to a personal matter. We lost him. We had to suffer through Adam Mazur starts. We had to figure out a way to grind with some of the pitchers that we had to call up. Benny, you know, Randy Vasquez and guys like that, man, it just... It's the way that baseball is, and it's a war of attrition. It's not like, that's the thing is, like, the Dodgers know it's a war of attrition as well. They see it every single year. There's always a reason why, you know, we're rusty. Well, they didn't look rusty in game one. They hit the ball fine in game one, quite well, some would say. You know, the Guardians were not rusty. What did Mike Schilt say? Winners, what is it? Losers make excuses and winners find reasons, or whatever it was. But it's so true. It's like, yeah, man, like, you're still the Dodgers. You still have this elite talent. You still can hit. I mean, they're still a really good hitting team, and they have a locked-down bullpen that's now pretty rested for the next game. So it's...
Losers complain, winners find solutions.
Winners find solutions. That's it. Losers complain, winners find solutions. And so that's what I hope the mentality is with our Padres, and so far, you know, so good.
By the way, can we put the narrative of... the bye is the, you know,
correct,
worst thing to bet.
Correct.
As you said, the three of the four teams that had the bye won their first game.
Correct.
The one that didn't, the Phillies, came back and won the second game.
Correct.
I think that was a small sample size. You'd only seen it for a couple of years. had a couple of teams, just didn't work out. Doesn't mean that a bye is a bad thing. A bye is a good thing.
Always.
Now, put me in the situation where you know you're getting through the first round, as the Padres did. I like the fact that they were able to play during those, you know, get some confidence, win those two games against the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah.
Still have, you know, Dylan Cease going on in game one. Didn't work out for them, but I wasn't unhappy with that situation. But I'll never turn down the opportunity to
rest.
Bye. You'll never convince me that a bye is actually a bad thing to have in a postseason situation.
Well, and like as much as I want baseball today for the San Diego Padres, I'm also very thankful that we have a day off today, and which is could also be construed as rest. Xander Bogaerts needs rest. Fernando Tatis Jr. needs rest. These guys, and I know some of them are very locked in at the plate and probably don't want a day. Jake Cronenworth needs a mental reset right now. Not hitting the ball, you know, at all, and looks a little bit lost up at the plate. But again, these are our guys. We're not, there's nothing else we can do. There's nobody else that's going to go in and play second base. You may be able to move Arise over there. I don't want to see that necessarily. Give me Crony's glove. Keep playing good defense. If you get on base, run the bases hard and smart like you always do. And I trust that he's going to figure it out. I trust. That's all I can do. I trust Victor Rodriguez immensely. Whatever he's doing right now, we know Crony. He's working his tail off to fix it. It just, the results haven't been there yet.
David wants to know who's supposed to start for the Padres on Wednesday. Cease on short rest. I think you can almost completely put that scenario to bed right now. Yes, if the Dodgers win tomorrow and it's an elimination game, and in an elimination game, all hands are on deck. But my guess is that Dylan Cease going on short rest is far down the list of options right now of what Mike Shildt. I think you'd rather go with a bullpen day or Martin Perez, even in an elimination game at this point, than asking Dylan Cease after what was not his best outing to come then on short rest and try to do it again. Now, his pitch count wasn't insanely high because he only went into the
was he like 80
fourth
something?
Inning or something. Yeah, I mean, well, it wasn't. I mean, could it be possible? Yes, I do not expect that to happen.
I don't either. I think Martin Perez. But again, it's so funny, man. We sat in the dugout with Michael King a couple of weeks ago and interviewed him for his King of the Hill Foundation. And you essentially had a guy sitting next to us who was lobbying for a playoff start. Like, I'd love to start in the playoffs, you know, and everybody thought if Joe stayed healthy, they were going to move King to the bullpen. That also leads me to believe they knew something might be up with Joe Musgrove's arm, as Joe did. He's been telling them, like, hey, it's tight. I'm going to keep going. That gives you a little more clarity as to why they made that move. But here we go from a guy lobbying for a playoff start, Benny, to now a guy with a massive, massive start in Game 3 at home. Now has become the ace of your staff, although Yu Darvish has something to say about that after last night's performance. Brilliant performance. I thought that was really cool, and I'm so happy for Michael King. And the place is going to be buzzing tomorrow night. Buzzing.
I feel good with Michael King on the mound. You know, I was at that game back in May that he started, the one that Arise walked off. But that really was Michael King's dominance in that game against the Dodgers. Looked really good. One of his sharpest outings of the season at Petco Park. He'll have a chance to recreate that tomorrow night in front of what will be an even bigger and louder crowd. And that was a pretty big and loud crowd that night when Luis Arraez made his Petco Park debut, and Michael King pitched so well against the Dodgers that night. So I feel good about that. And I'm sure you talked about it on Saturday at Alesmith, but in terms of Joe, yeah, some of the things we found out in the aftermath of his injury, that this was something he had been dealing with for like weeks and pitching through it and just hoping if I can just get to the end of the playoffs, you know, and pitch a few more good games. I mean, it's amazing how many great games Joe pitched without being 100% healthy.
Yeah, no doubt.
It really was. He gave everything he had to the San Diego Padres this season. He gave his arm to try to win a World Series this year.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, you know, he's going to lose an entire year of pitching. And I mean, I took my son, who's six, who loves Joe Musgrove so much, And I said, buddy, he's going to be 7 in February. I go, you won't see Joe Musgrove pitch till you're 8. Think about that for a second. Wow. His face just went white, man. Big sign poster of Joe over his bed. The Joe Musgrove height measuring thing in his room. He loves Joe. I think a lot of us do. And I was so, so bummed to watch him choke up that much emotion. It's a special feeling this team has. You saw him last night. That dude was pounding on the top rail of the dugout. It was so cool to see.
I do think, and, you know, with my limited medical knowledge of what's going on here, I don't think the Padres did anything wrong. In fact, probably the worst-case scenario would be try to, you know, shut down Joe through the offseason, and then he comes back in spring training next year. And
tries going, again.
It's not really working, and then they have to do the Tommy John surgery. Then he's out 2025 and probably into the middle, late 2026. Now, hopefully, you know, gets the surgery done, goes through the rehab, and by the time spring training rolls around in 2026, Joe will have 2 seasons left on his contract, have a new arm, you know, and we've seen pitchers come back, not even as good, but sometimes even better when they come back, and you know Joe's going to put in every drop of the work and then some to come back. I look forward to seeing that moment when Joe comes back, because I know he's still got more to give for the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, Higgy said he's irreplaceable, you know, and I said it on the broadcast, in my word salad broadcast at Ailsmith on Saturday. He is irreplaceable, but you need to find a way to replace him. You know, there's somebody who's going to have to come up. And basically, what are we talking about here? You need to replace 5 innings, essentially. 6. You need to find a way to get through those 6 innings without Joe in this series. And then you got to figure it out, if you make it, how to get through, you know, maybe 10, 12. You got to find those somewhere.
Yeah.
Where's it going to be?
You know, you lost him. He wouldn't have had an impact on games 1 or 2.
Yeah.
Wasn't going to pitch either way.
Correct.
So, you know, you are where you're still going to be. Now, going forward, yeah, it's definitely a big issue. But right now, haven't seen that impact yet. All right, we're going to take a time out. When we come back, we do have some tickets to give away. Woods, what do you know about Sublime?
What do you mean, what do I know about Sublime?
What do you know about Sublime?
Well, I know that they're a huge, huge band.
Okay.
And I know that Bradley Knoll, the singer, passed away.
Okay.
And then Rome took over, and then he left. And now Bradley Knoll's son is the singer for Sublime, which I think is pretty cool. My wife is a huge Sublime.
Is she?
Yeah, well, born and raised in San Diego.
Gallagher Square tickets, Sublime with Rome, coming to Gallagher Square.
With Rome,
yes.
No. He's out, isn't he?
It says with Rome.
Sublime with Rome.
Sublime
right,
with Rome.
We need to double check this.
I didn't know Rome was a person.
So this is Rome's. Oh, are they doing the bit where it's like, I'm Ben and Woods, but Ben's not here anymore, but I'm keeping the brand?
I don't know. We'll give away some tickets when we come back after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. It's very nice to be back in San Diego.
I bet, man.
After a couple of days in Los Angeles.
I bet.
It's a different world up there. It is. And you know what? I will say something nice. The stadium has a bit of charm to it, history to it, that you walk in and you notice that's there. It's just once it's filled with the people, it doesn't feel like Petco Park.
Yeah, a lot of old buildings do.
Yeah, maybe that's
like
just
little
it.
Monuments, like 3 people were arrested here, 1 person injured in a brawl here.
Yeah, I'll credit. They put a plaque up for Tatis's monumental home run that left the yard. Wasn't the, you know, I didn't actually go see that. I was actually near it. I should have gone and found that plaque for Fernando Tatis Jr. I wasn't thinking about it at the time. I was so locked into the actual games that were being played.
I can't believe how effing far away you were. I really can't believe how far away you were.
It's a confusing stadium, though.
Is it?
Because it's built into the side of the ravine,
right?
You go in on the 7th level, at least when you're behind home plate. And then I'm trying to figure out, so I go down to the press box from the parking lot, and then you go way down, like, to get to the field. You're like nosebleeds when you walk in the ballpark from the very top, at the very, like, upper deck. And then it's all downhill from there to the bottom.
Everybody is reminding us.
Kiss the roach. Non-game day, we're not going to
miss that roach.
Not going to tempt any fates at this point.
Yep. What else? You had some Korean fried chicken, is that right?
So, yeah, so they gave us they didn't cook meals in the press box, not that I was in the press box, but they gave us like a voucher that you could go and exchange for, like, I think it was like $25. at just one of the concession stands.
Okay.
So first day, I was kind of looking out there in left field, and they had the Korean fried chicken bucket.
Yeah.
Which was dry and not great.
It looked very messy, too.
Yeah, I had a fork. I just ate that. I didn't touch it. I just used a fork to eat that with.
Is it like orange chicken kind of? Does it have that kind
of? Yeah, a little bit. Like chicken fingers, but with like a Korean gochujang barbecue-y sauce on it.
Okay.
But I didn't like that very much.
It was not good.
Yesterday, I tried to go. I went with a chicken Caesar salad, something a little healthier. And I did get a slice of pizza, which actually wasn't bad.
All right.
That was probably the best thing I ate in the ballpark. Home plate pizza. Kind of Detroit style, the square.
Oh, he loves Detroit.
Paul, the square side. Yeah, Detroit style pizza. I made you go.
He made us go
Peoria.
Out of our way and get this Detroit style pizza.
You know how many Dodger dogs were free in the press box? As many as you can eat.
Oh, good.
Tony Gwynn Jr. was in the press box. They also had like ice cream, like the
soft serve
paletas. The
okay.
They had soft serve, but they also had like popsicles, like the Mexican popsicles with the different flavors. He's eating one, and he goes, "You know, I think I'm going to get a hot dog too." And it's like, Tony, you're eating ice cream and you're going to get a hot dog at the same time. I'm impressed. I had zero Dodger.
Yeah, they don't taste good.
I didn't want one.
Yeah,
I had no interest.
It's also bad juju.
I just felt wrong. I mean, if it was just called a hot dog, maybe, but I'm not eating something called a Dodger dog.
I don't need my man up there just double-fisting Dodger dogs in the press box.
No.
Chumming it up with John Smoltz.
Yeah.
Joe Davis.
I passed on the Dodger
dogs. Did you see Joe Davis at all?
I did. I saw John Smoltz, but I never saw Joe Davis.
I got to talk to David Cohn last week. That was kind of fun. Good dude. Really nice guy. Says he'll come on with us soon.
Find out.
Yeah. Text him. Get him on this week.
Well, did see Ken Rosenthal applying a copious amount of makeup.
So much makeup.
In the dugout before his hits.
So much
makeup. He works on the makeup a lot.
Yeah, Joe too. Yeah, a lot of makeup in there. Yeah, you have to for TV.
Alden Gonzalez from ESPN was there. That was he's good. He's
Your
good.
Celebrity sightings were spectacular. The Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt was at the first game.
Yeah.
They do the bit like in the seventh inning stretch where they like search around for celebrities, and you know they always got it's L.A.
It's L.A., man.
It's what they do. So you're going to get some celebrities. Billie Jean King was there. They focused on her. Ken Jeong. You cannot get away from Ken Jeong at that place. Dr. Ken.
Yeah.
Like every other half inning, there's like something on the board with Dr. Ken screaming at you constantly. I mean, that place, he must own that place because there is so much Dr. Ken at Dodger Stadium. It's kind of unbelievable.
He's the one in the Hangover movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's funny. Funny dude.
They did have
he's a real doctor.
Is he?
He is a real doctor. He's a medical doctor.
Him and his wife are like surgeons or something. Like he's a real doctor who always plays a doctor and Knocked Up and The Hangover. Well, he wasn't a doctor in The Hangover, but yeah, everybody calls him Dr. Ken.
They did have I think it was the saxophonist for Stevie Wonder who performed the national anthem. He held the free, in the land of the free note. Had to be like 45 seconds. I mean, everyone was like, he did it for like 20 seconds, and everyone was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And he just kept going. He wasn't even halfway done. He just held that note. Like, I thought, are they going to have to delay the game simply for this guy holding the note on Land of the Free? I mean, it was remarkable. I will say that. It was absolutely remarkable.
That's so good. So good. Yeah, you're the celebrity Ben, man. That's where you belong.
Some might even say it was sublime. And that transitions us to our giveaway. We got tickets for Sublime with Rome. They are coming to Gallagher Square on November 23rd. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. But if you want to win a pair, now's the time to call. Fourth caller, 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Chance to see Sublime with Rome at Gallagher Square after the season on November 23rd. Again, tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com. All right, final segment of Ben and Woods. I feel like we still have only scratched kind of the surface of everything that happened in 3.5 hours.
Insane.
Which is...
Oh, yeah, save something for tomorrow, because nothing's happening tonight.
That's
remember.
True. We'll have a couple of American League games. We'll have press conferences. Who knows?
That's
What will be announced tonight.
Maybe Manny and Jack Flaherty actually go duke it out. I wonder if they ever met
I was
last
in the parking
night.
Lot. I did not see them meeting in the parking lot. I assume they just got... You know, Manny probably just got on the team bus and went back to the San Diego.
Jack
with the team,
does not but... want any part of that.
Yeah,
I like Jack Flaherty. I do.
We do have we never even played the audio.
Oh, we haven't played the Muncie audio.
We got the Dave Roberts audio.
Let's play some of that in our final segment coming up.
Get you refired up
next year on 97.3 The Fan. I guess I didn't know that much about Jack Flaherty. I know he's only been a Dodger for a couple of months. Seems to go really hard all of a sudden. That's a weird thing about pro sports. Doesn't take long for a guy on a new team to all of a sudden be like, yeah, I love these guys more than anything else in the world, and I hate all the other 29 teams more than anything else, even though I was just on one of those other teams a couple of months ago, another team that's actually in the playoffs as well. But now I ride for these guys, and I'm going to get really upset because something I think perceived happened to these guys instead.
I will say, though, competition is competition, and a playoff start is a playoff start. Really doesn't matter who you're playing for. He's had a couple months with them, certainly. And Jack's a good pitcher and a good competitor, certainly. And you know, I tend to agree that hit by pitch was intentional last night. I really do. And I was kind of felt it confirmed when I heard his post game comments. And he talked about the Manny stuff. Again, Manny really did a good job at downplaying it afterward and said, yeah, man, it's just the heat of competition and blah, blah, blah. Which is, hey, man, you love it. And if you ever played in a chippy baseball game, anybody out there listening at any level, if you ever played in a chippy baseball game, you know just how elite and special and fun it is. We played in one yesterday, and there's just nothing like it on the planet. On the planet. Nobody got hurt. Nobody got any fist fights. Nobody got their feelings hurt. And we all shook hands afterwards. But, boy, you sure love a chippy baseball game. And that's exactly what that was. So I doubt there will be any spillover. I doubt there will be any carryover. As long as, you know, our fans don't go do anything dumb and make us look bad, we got to rise above at Petco Park and just make it a really cool environment, as they have, you know, a ton of times this year. So I'm not too worried about
Before we hear from Jack Flaherty, is it possible that both Manny and Jack are honest and truthful here? Because there's a fine line between throwing at a guy on purpose and throwing way inside and not really caring where the pitch goes,
yes,
because you're not really interested in giving him a pitch to hit.
Correct.
I'm okay missing way inside on this guy. I'm not throwing at him, but
he said for effect. You'll hear it.
If he doesn't get out of the way, I'm not devastated that I hit him. That is a very fine line. Here's Jack Flaherty after the game.
You should never get involved. There's no reason. There's no need. No reason ever to throw anything at players, no matter what's going on. Like, there's no reason to get involved with it. Stay out of it. And whatever went on over there, they have every reason to be upset about it. Like, nobody, we should never feel like we're ever going to get anything thrown at us on either side. So fans should never be involved. You know, they didn't like the pitch to Tatis. Look, I missed in the first inning, and I threw the ball over the middle. I wasn't going to miss over the plate again, but I've got no reason to hit a guy there to start off the sixth, like, as good as he's been swinging the bat, but we're down in the game. I'm trying to go in for effect, and he didn't get out of the way. It hit him. didn't try to go and hit him to try to lead off an inning or anything like that. That doesn't really make sense. Just didn't go up near his head, nothing, just trying to push a guy off the plate. He didn't get out of the way. And sometimes that happens. They're upset about it. You know, that's part of it. I was fired up after getting Manny out. It was a big spot in the playoffs. You know, that's what happens. Like, I was fired up. Like, oh well. And then, you know, he did some in between innings where he decides to throw the ball at our dugout, and everybody kind of catches the tail end of it, which is me and him going at it. But, like, I was sitting there for my team. I wasn't sitting there to go at him, but, you know, he was throwing the ball at our dugout. And the umpires went over immediately to tell him, like, I don't know what their conversation was, but our dugout was fired up because there ain't no reason for that. Everybody caught the tail end of it. Everybody caught just me and him going at it. Like, man, he's a great player. Like, you know, I understand everybody getting, it's postseason, everybody's fired up. You get upset, like, frustrated about pitch hitting Tatis, like I said, you know, you gotta be able to pitch him in, and I missed in the first inning, and I wasn't gonna miss over the plate again. Just trying to go in for effect. So there was a lot that happened there, but, you know, we want the fans to stay out of it. And, you know, overall, we just got to play better. But, you know, it's, you know, sometimes emotions run high in this game. And you just go out and, you know, we got to regroup and go get the next one.
Breaking news on 97.3 The Fan. Baseball player throws baseball towards dugout on a baseball field.
Well, dude, and the way that he acts, I've seen Manny do this a billion times. You know, just kind of flips it in. Like,
yeah, did he chuck it at, you know, 96 miles an hour at someone in the dugout? No. I don't think so.
He's not.
If he wanted to throw a ball at someone, you know what Manny would do? He'd hit that person because he throws the ball really hard. If he tosses a baseball, baseballs are being tossed all over the place during between innings, during a game, all the time. Got to get it off the field. Can't stay on the field during the middle of an inning. So you toss it somewhere.
Well, Dominic makes a good point. So now we know, if Flaherty ever hits someone in the head, he did it on purpose. I mean, that's what you know, what you're saying is, yeah, you went in for effect, and you have to pitch inside. You got to move your feet.
He contradicted himself, though. He said, "What? Why would I want to do that against him to lead off an inning and put on a runner?" But then you admitted you didn't want to ever give him anything to hit. I mean, if I'm going to hit someone, it's going to be the guy that I don't want to pitch to anyway. I'm not going to pitch to him anyway.
First
so
pitch, right?
If I'm going to hit someone, it might as well be him. You know, I'd rather have him come up, with two outs and nobody on, but he didn't. He came up with nobody out.
Yeah.
Still wasn't going to give him anything to hit, so might as well throw it way inside. And if it hits him, it hits him.
Then listen to Max Muncy talking about the incident, as it were. And Max is confused.
But you know, you just can't throw stuff on the field like that, and it's frustrating. You know, we understand the fans are frustrated at us in this game, but just can't be throwing stuff on the field. Not sure what the Padres were doing. It doesn't matter.
Jack said something about Profar threw something toward the dugout.
Pause. Jack said something about Profar throwing something at the dugout. That didn't happen.
Probably. It wouldn't surprise me.
Oh.
But, you know.
Oh. Well, number one, it wasn't Profar. It was Manny, and they talked about it after, and it wouldn't surprise me. These are the kind of little things. These are the Will Smith. Why would we throw at him? He's irrelevant. Again, you want to kick the hornet's nest. Be ready to get stung. Like, you got stung last night, and I hope you come in and kick it again. And if I'm Jerks and Profar, you know what I do tomorrow? I 1,000% try to get under their skin. Walker Buehler is an easy guy, I would imagine, to get under his skin. And if I'm Jerks and Profar, you can rest assured that I'm going to go out there and act. I'm doing something. I'm going to try to get them out of their game, you know, just like happened the other night. There's no question.
All right, we got to check traffic. Question, though. I mean, is Jerks and Profar a troublemaker?
Yeah, he's great.
Is that okay?
Jerks and Profar in this case, though, was the victim. So I'm not going to blame a victim.
Not with the fans. Well, I'll explain what I mean right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So we already know the answer to my question, and it is yes. Even his Padres teammates acknowledge that. I think Xander said something to the effect, if something's getting started, it's probably Jerickson who's starting it. And they know that. And they're not only okay with it, they're glad for it. They're glad that they have him doing it. Jackson Merrill, I had talked to him after the game about the robbing of Mookie Betts. And he said, I thought it was hilarious. Now, if I'm Mookie Betts, I'm kind of mad about that. I mean, you don't want to be... I'm sure it's embarrassing to be running around the bases, thinking you hit a home run, hitting second, rounding third, and all of a sudden having someone tell you are out.
Yeah.
Was Jerickson specifically doing it to make a fool out of Mookie Betts? Absolutely not.
No, I mean, I think if he wanted to make a fool out of Mookie Betts, he could have gone up into the stands, grabbed it, and dead sprint into the infield, waving the ball around. You know what I'm saying? I love that he didn't even acknowledge Betts. He turned around, looked at the fan. He jumped up and down five times, turned around, threw the ball in. Yeah, it's a crap feeling, man. Hitting a home run's got to be really cool, especially one to tie the game. And to think that a guy went in and made a great, great, brilliant play. Tough for Mookie. Mookie's still hitless, so you know that's a tough look, man. I don't think Jerickson did anything wrong.
Again, I fully believe Jerickson didn't even know that it had been called a home run or anything was happening. His back was to
the whole infield,
and the field when that was happening.
I think everybody thought he
caught it. Yeah. And I mean, it's not like he's pulling it over a wall. He went in. he caught it. From his perspective, he just made the best play of his defensive play of his life, the one he's always dreamed of making. He's enjoying it for a moment with the fans who are trying to knock it out of his hands. He's jumping. He's celebrating. He's excited about it.
Yep.
He shows nothing other than the fact that I caught the ball. He didn't do the old slow play it like, oh, do I have it? Do I have it? Oh, here it is. No. He had it in his glove. He's jumping. He's excited. And as soon as he turns around, he throws it to the infield. There was no slow play, slow roll, attempt to like embarrass anyone else. He was excited and celebrating his big catch that he thought everyone saw because, you know, you're in a stadium of 50,000 plus people and everyone's looking at you making that catch. He doesn't know how it looks on television or from the upper deck. Well, he just thinks everyone just saw me make the best catch I've ever made.
Like in the beginning of the show, I said the Dodger fans that were right there were priceless. They were like, oh my God. Like it was great. It was a great theatrical cinematic.
If you want to be
movie.
Mad at someone, if you're
mad
a Dodgers
at, be
fan,
be mad at the Dodgers.
Be
fans.
Mad at the left field umpire. You have extra umpires in playoff games.
Bro, be mad at the fans for not snatching that ball
and that are stationed down the line. One of the guys from MLB.com went and interviewed that fan, and he goes, "Yeah, I mean, I'm not happy about it. I don't want to be the next Steve Bartman here." It's interesting with those low walls, Dodger Stadium, one of those places where fans can absolutely impact the game there. Like, I'd have a little in-service. If I were the Dodgers and there's a front row, I'd walk down every game and have someone say, all right, don't reach over fan interference and we could lose a home run. They'll call him out. But once the ball hits that wall, you can hit his arm.
Yeah.
You can rip off his glove. You can do anything you want. So as soon
fair
as
game.
Don't be trying to catch it. If we're hitting a home run and you see an opposing fielder come to that wall, once he reaches an inch past the wall, maul him. Yeah. Maul him. The rules are on our side at that point. But they all just reach up like, oh, I'm going to catch this thing. And they didn't even look at Jurickson.
J-Rod did that to Tatis last year. And it was like, do I have it? Do I not? Do I have it? Do I not? And slow play.
And
it
taunting.
Was great. It was absolutely great. So this is a beautiful, beautiful moment. I loved it. It was a great catch. Mookie, you know, has the ability to do the exact same thing to any one of our players as well. I think Mookie knows that. My beef last night was with Jack Flaherty, and it was with people throwing stuff at players. That's where it starts and stops. And it wasn't just one player. It was happening in the bullpen. Jeremiah Estrada, Sweet Angel, was ready to throw down last night. Ready to throw down. People were throwing stuff into the Padres bullpen. Little Sweet Yuki Matsui comes over, kind of puts his arms around him, drags him off. Jeremiah's a fiery guy, man. So again, if you kick the hornet's nest, you can't complain when you get stung, man, because that's exactly what they did.
That's that Imperial Valley toughness.
Bro,
that he's got.
100%, man. Out there roasting in the Imperial Valley.
That toughens you up a little bit.
115 degrees in December. You tell me that guy's not ready to go anytime? Oh, yeah, and he grew up a Dodger fan as well. So, yeah, dude, it was elite. It was elite competition. It was an elite cinema. It was everything you ask for in a playoff game. And, yeah, it sucks. If you're a Dodger fan, you hate losing that game in that fashion last night. But it's just one loss.
Now, who said that if the Dodgers are going to lose, that's the way they wanted to lose?
Probably Joe Davis.
I saw that.
I think Joe Davis
said
that
quote, and I didn't see who was it attributed to.
Yeah.
Why would you ever say that? Why would you ever want to get bodied?
Well, you don't. But you didn't have to use highest
just
leverage
from
guys.
The strategic elements.
Strategically, I think he's probably right.
Okay, in that sense, yeah, you didn't use a bunch of your pitchers to try to go at chase a losing cause.
Correct.
In the end.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, look and listen, guys. What's worse? The 6-5 loss in the ninth? Yeah, that one's tough.
I mean, ultimately,
everyone
but Tanner Scott is going to be on 2 days of rest.
Yeah.
I mean, Alec Jacobs probably not pitching again in the series. So other than Tanner Scott, the Padres are just as rested as the Dodgers going into Game 3 tomorrow. Correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's set up nicely. I mean, each one, you know.
So that's not the way you'd want to lose. You'd want the other team to have to use their high-leverage relievers.
A bunch of high leverage.
Not have the starter go 7, have one high-leverage reliever come in for one quick inning, and then get to use the back of the bullpen in the 9th. That's not how you want to lose the game. You'd rather have it be closer and not get destroyed.
If you're the Dodgers, though, you're like, all right, I mean, it's one loss.
Right.
Like, I didn't have to use all my highest leverage arms. It's one loss. You know, we're tied. You know, and if you're the Padres, you did exactly what you needed to do. You needed to get a sweep in L.A. Now you got
and now the Dodgers are saying, hey, we need to get one of two at Petco and
get it back to L.A.
Take our chances back at home in Game 5.
You're going to have to go to that, too?
Yeah.
When is Game 5?
Friday.
So you got to work here.
Then hop in the car and
letting you off.
Head on up.
And then head on up.
Yeah. And if they win, probably get on a plane to Philadelphia. Unless the Mets win, then I get to come home. But you know what?
Friday, so when's game one?
Those are good problems. LCS Sunday.
Sunday night?
Sunday. Those are good problems. Those are the kind of problems we want to have in October. Woods, that's it for us. Annie and Elston, if their show's anything like ours, going to breeze by the next 4 hours talking more Padres baseball. We will be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. getting you ready for game 3 of the NLDS. For Paul Reindl and Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Monday from all of us here at the home of the Padres, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.